Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the audio patio as we grill a few news products in the warm spring sun. It's time for another installment of Black Republicans Matter. You'll recall Senator Tim Scott was slimed on Twitter after he gave the Republican response to Biden's speech. They called him an Uncle Tim. Now, I don't think that sounds so bad. Obviously, I'm an Uncle Tim. I got five brothers and sisters. But we know what they meant. A sellout. A house slave for the plantation owner. Last week, we talked about how the Washington Post fact checker was fanatically digging into yellowed old records on the family property owned by the ancestors of Tim Scott. These people want to make a big story out of how Tim Scott thinks he has a unique family history. He's gilding the lily. We can't have that. This is why it's a little funny that Glenn Kessler over at the Post would announce at the end of Biden's first 100 days that they weren't going to waste their staff time with a database of Biden's false and misleading statements, the same way they did for Trump. Kessler said, after 4 years of a presidency that swamped Americans with a gusher of false and misleading claims, the Joe Biden era has offered a return to a more typical pattern when it comes to a commander-in-chief and his relationship with the facts. And he did this first 100 days count. He counted 511 false and misleading statements for Trump back in 2017 in the first 100 days, and he only counted 78 for Joe Biden. And part of that is just simply, he's a Democrat. We're Democrats. He says all the typical Democratic lies and misstatements, and we're fine with that because they sound good to us. But Kessler went on. He went on Twitter and he said, maintaining the Trump database over 4 years required about 400 additional 8-hour days over 4 years beyond our regular jobs for three people. Well, we know the obvious answer to that. You're owned by a billionaire. Maybe you could have more than three people in the fact checker shop if you're going to have this massive database of Trump lies. Kessler said, Biden is off to a relatively slow start, but who knows what will happen. We will keep doing fact checks, just not a database. Yes, we know why that is. And that is because Trump was Trump. Democracy was dying in darkness. We had to take every extraordinary measure. It's just like in 2016, a team of Washington Post reporters prepared a book on Donald Trump called Trump Revealed because the voters really needed all the digging that we were going to do into Donald Trump's life and business. The Washington Post had no book in 2016 evaluating Hillary Clinton. Why would you need to do that? They didn't do a pamphlet looking into Hillary Clinton. They did interviews with Hillary Clinton, and their dominant question was, what will you tell your grandmother or your granddaughter about this campaign? This is the standard. This is why the Washington Post is a Democrat Party newspaper. They had an urgent need to somehow chronicle so-called 30,000-plus false or misleading statements by Trump, and now there's no time for a database. It's a waste of resources. So then it was funny to see the Associated Press fact-check team doing a fact-check defending the Washington Post fact-check. There was somehow this anonymous claim, the Washington Post has ended fact-checking for Joe Biden for the remainder of his presidency. AP finds this to be false. Well, I think we understood what he meant. He meant we're not going to do a day-to-day database and we're not going to count up his fibs. we're not going to get to some grand and glorious thousand something number because we're just not interested in making Biden look bad. The Post's PR person, the communications director, told the AP that, well, Trump gave us unique circumstances. Yes, the unique circumstances was all hands were on deck. You hated Trump. He had to go. He couldn't wait for the next election. He had to be impeached twice. He needed to be dropped in jail by Robert Mueller. Yes, unique circumstances means the Democrats are not in power. And then this trend continued. On Sunday nights, All Things Considered, please always laugh when they call this show All Things Considered. NPR Weekend host Michelle Martin devoted more than 8 minutes of airtime to letting Glenn Kessler defend himself for this Tim Scott thing. Tonight on All Things Considered, we'll let Glenn Kessler consider his things, and Newsbusters doesn't get any things. Conservatives don't get any time for rebuttal. The NPR headline on NPR.org was, "Journalist digs into Senator Tim Scott's quote-unquote tidy origin story after comments on racism." You see, it was controversial, said Michelle Martin, that Tim Scott would say America was not a racist country. How dare he? Martin even said that Glenn Kessler had probed Scott's so-called origin story. Now, Kessler gave Scott no Pinocchios for his origin story, but it's so-called. This is usually a phrase you use to say fake. Dan Rather used to say the so-called Christian Coalition, or people who call themselves the Christian Coalition, because he was saying, not really the Christian Coalition. His so-called life story. And all that Glenn Kessler got from Michelle Martin were these softballs. Did you have an inkling that Senator Scott would be upset about this? And why do you think he is? And of course, Kessler's like, you know, I did not have an inkling. And then he insists, I was not trying to play gotcha. Well, guess what? When a Republican senator gets a call from the Washington Post fact checker, he probably doesn't think he's going to get a light cleanse. Martin's toughest question was talking about, basically, Kessler's critique was attacked by Republicans and at least one Democrat.
One of the things that fascinated me about this piece is how some people from South Carolina in particular, political figures on both the right and the left, have been critical of this piece. The former South Carolina governor, the former UN ambassador Nikki Haley, called the piece shameful. She said on Twitter, "When minorities refuse to be victims, disagree with liberal talking points, and think for ourselves, the media shames us and questions our credibility." But Bakari Sellers, a Democrat, a former South Carolina legislator, many people probably see him as a political commentator on CNN, also tweeted, you know, who thought this was a good idea? What do you make of that? Like, why would that be considered shocking or shameful or, you know, upsetting? I mean, these genealogy shows, which are quite popular, often do the very same thing, and people find things out that they did not know. They may find out that an ancestor owned slaves, or they might find out that their ancestor sort of fought with distinction in the Civil War, you know, in an all-black regiment or something of that sort. And people generally are interested in this information. They're not angry that it was discovered. So what's your take on the reaction to it?
Well, you know, I think a lot of this is just politics. I mean, the word racist, which appeared in a number of right-wing publications, it seems to be intended to make a reporter think twice about conducting a detailed examination of Senator Scott or his background. We investigate the backgrounds of white politicians all the time. And certainly someone who is a potential candidate for president or vice president should expect a high degree of scrutiny. But I have to admit, I was really surprised by the intensity of the reaction, much of which was fanned by Fox News.
Michelle Martin was acting like Glenn Kessler was some form of Henry Louis Gates studying your ancestors for giggles on PBS. This wasn't just some genealogical investigation. Ooh, isn't that interesting about your background? I didn't know that. No, this isn't genealogy, it's ideology. This is all about, let's make Tim Scott sound suspect. Let's make Tim Scott a controversial figure, just like Donald Trump is a controversial figure. Joe Biden's not a controversial figure. He's typical. He's not unique to circumstances. He's just normal. So Martin's last question was, before we let you go, what do you find most remarkable about this story? Not the sort of distorted reaction to what you did not actually say, but just the story itself and what you learned. So Michelle Martin saying, you did a very unique and interesting thing, and then there was this distorted reaction. How dare they? Why don't you spend some time actually investigating here? Because Kessler says he's not trying to play gotcha, but we all understand. Glenn Kessler is not into investigating Barack Obama's life story. He sucks at investigating Hillary Clinton's life story. She said she wanted to join the Marines. He gave that to Pinocchio. It's like, oops. I mean, it's just amazing that NPR would give Kessler 8 minutes to defend himself. There's no time for anybody else. We surrender our tax dollars, and all we get is this so-called explanatory journalism on how Tim Scott should really be delighted he's being probed for gilding the lily about his family's wealth during the Jim Crow era. Defund NPR, that's our slogan. Doesn't mean that they should all be denied any money whatsoever. We should just make the liberals pay for the liberals, and you should just leave the conservative taxpayers out of it. We will have more on how easy it is to demonstrate that the Washington Post is a Democratic Party organ after this.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
Now, more on how the Washington Post is a Democrat paper. As Catholics celebrated the fourth Sunday of Easter, we marveled at some of the press coverage last week of the so-called devout Catholic president. This Washington Post tweet was something special. Quote, a rising group of right-wing U.S. Catholic bishops is colliding with a very Catholic president who supports abortion rights, unquote. Huh? Let's try to unpack this. When you stand by traditional church teaching on abortion as a moral evil, you're called right-wing. They're treating the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops like a political convention instead of a religious group. This is a political take. The Post is really trying to say here is, Republican bishops are reigning on our parade, celebrating this very religious Democrat president. I mean, this phrase, very Catholic who supports abortion rights, it's just nonsense. It's like trying to tweet out, he's very vegetarian who supports barbecue restaurants, or very liberal who supports Trump, or very fascist who supports Antifa. That's illogic. Post-religion reporter Michelle Borstein approaches this whole issue as if the Catholic Church doesn't have an authority structure, but that it's basically a focus group. Pope Francis should act more like Frank Luntz. She writes, now there is a Catholic U.S. president for the first time since the early 1960s, and one who is passionately open about both his Catholic faith and his liberal politics on topics such as reproductive freedom and LGBTQ equality, both areas with which he and a majority of other U.S. Catholics disagree with their church's doctrine. You see what they're doing there? They're trying to say Biden and a majority of Catholics should be running the Catholic Church in the United States. Forget the Vatican. We're just going to let Joe Biden be the Pope for America. he can define what devout Catholicism is, because it's politically convenient for us to call whatever his view is devout Catholicism. You can be devoutly Catholic and incredibly progressive. This is the quote that really stuck out to me. Michael Sean Winters, an analyst of the church for the left-leaning National Catholic Reporter. Okay. If you don't know what the National Catholic Reporter is, you might confuse it with, say, the National Catholic Register. That's just change a couple of letters. The National Catholic Register is sort of that traditional, what they would call the right-wing bishop's view. The National Catholic Reporter is like the Huffington Post on Catholic steroids. Anyway, Michael Sean Winter said, there will not be a two-thirds vote of the bishops for anything to proceed that will suggest Biden not receive communion. And he noted the Vatican would have to approve it as well. So Winter says, this is never going to happen, so the question is, why are they doing it? I think this is all just about trying to delegitimize Biden. See how political that sounds? In religious terms, it's basically saying, we need to define, this is what the church teaches. Biden is confusing what it is that the church believes by saying he's a devout Catholic, he's very Catholic, who supports abortion. That's just confusing, if not illogical. But they can only see it as, you're seeking to delegitimize Biden, you're seeking to damage his approval rating. Then there's this line from Michael Sean Winters. The thing that's beyond obvious is they need to talk about people getting people back into church after COVID and not going after someone who already goes to church. You get that? The Catholic Church, your only goal should be getting butts in the seats. It doesn't matter what they actually believe. Heaven, hell, God, whatever, whatever puts butts in the seats, that's what the Catholic Church's mission ought to be. Or in our case, butts in the pew. But, you know, it's just to sort of knock the church for being, oh, you're out of touch with your flock, and you need to, if you want to get people to come in and make donations in the donation plate, well, and you better get wise on abortion rights and LGBTQ equality. Now, Michelle Borstein did include Brian Birch of Catholic Vote, so there is that more traditional take there for a paragraph. But there are just two very different approaches to religion. The media always wants to run the Catholic Church just like they try to run everything else. They celebrate what they like. They disparage what they don't like. You're supposed to do everything to make them happy. If you take that old-fashioned phrase, don't get in a fight with people who buy ink by the barrel, well, then you're just letting newspapers run the country or your church. People who buy ink by the barrel can be just bad faith actors like anybody else. They're not immune to criticism because they buy ink by the barrel. Obviously, now, they're not just printing ink with newspapers. They're, you know, it's all a lot of money being made on digital subscriptions. So that's maybe an antiquated phrase. But by all means, let's never accept the idea that the media are too powerful to criticize. This is part of the whole problem, is that they are so arrogant that they think, oh, we are the noble ones. We are the all-knowing ones. It is against democracy to criticize us. It is against facts and truth. We are the forces of facts and truth, so you can't criticize us. At bottom, this is just about the Democrats wanting to have it both ways. I mean, politicians love to have it both ways. He's very Catholic, and he's pro-abortion. He's very religious, and he's the titanic transgender advocate. The media are supposed to be the referees. I mean, that's comical, but that's the old-fashioned concept. The media are supposed to be the fact-checkers. But as usual, they're just spinning like they're disc jockeys. The fact-checkers are spin controllers. The reporters are spin controllers. They use all of their usual journalistic tactics. They use them one way against the Republicans. They use them in an entirely different way against the Democrats. If you need more examples of these sorts of things, that's why you come to Newsbusters. Once, twice, 24 times a day, we will bring it to you. You will stay informed about what's happening in every 24-hour news cycle. Thanks for listening.